Hello, world.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Research tools and planning can make the difference between a disaster and an amazing trip. Hi, everyone. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Solo Travel Talk with Astrid this week is about research tools and how Astrid uses some of her favorite travel websites. Astrid goes into a lot of detail, and in fact, we break the topic into two episodes. Between this week and next, you'll get tons of tips and guidance on how to use these tools. And don't worry, all the links for the websites Astrid talks about are in the show notes. Get ready to learn how to get the most out of all these tools. Here's Astrid.
Travel research and the tools that you've used have come a long way. I know when I first started traveling, I'd have to go to the library and find books about, say, either London or Paris or wherever I wanted to go. And then we had all of the new bookstores like Books A Million, Barnes & Nobles, and I would go and browse through their wonderful sections, travel section, magazines, of course. I used to even read a lot of personal journals or travel writers who had written novels set in different settings, which used to always really spark my imagination. Even personal stories, people who had gone, say, to Acapulco or, the Cannes Film Festival or something that I thought was really cool.
Glamorous.
That would spark my interest a long time ago. And even television. Television still today is a good resource. But, where we are now is because of the internet and technology and Google, you don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is, if you have a smartphone or if you have a computer, iPad, you can use what's available on the internet to do all your research. So it's come a long way. And I think it's fabulous. Now, I have to admit, I still do go to Barnes & Nobles and pick up a couple of the real good guides. I like the DK, National Geographic, or Michelin. I'm older, and I kind of like the book. And sometimes I do find some things in there, some nuggets of information that maybe I miss on the internet. But technology and Google and the internet's the way to go. And also, which will be a future podcast, now we have all the apps.
Mm.
And people are getting more and more comfortable with using apps before they travel as well as when they're traveling. Instantly telling you where you are with the best restaurant or the best three restaurants within a block. So that's really something that I'm actually still getting comfortable with. But so we've come a long way.
Well, and I know that you're such a big advocate. Part of your philosophy really is that the planning helps you get the most out of your trip. So that's why I think that this is going to be so great for our listeners.
Oh, yeah. And one thing before we get into this is before any trip, I get a journal and I start every trip, whether it's just with ideas or brainstorming or thoughts, I start writing it in my journal. So I am developing my own travel journal from the very beginning. So I use this journal to, as I'm going through the sites, to write down and make notes of everything that I think is important, whether it's flights, cost, things to do, cultural do's and don'ts, things like that. I write everything down. So as I'm preparing and developing my itinerary and my budget and what hotel I want to go ahead and make the reservation, I have all the information right there together. I can look back. I don't have to go back on the internet because that, basically wastes time. And it just helps me keep organized on how I'm going to approach a trip and really kind of the, what I want to get out of it. So to me, that's very important to write everything down, whether it's museums you want to go to, things that you read about that are unique. So if they don't have all the information, then you can go back and Google that. Now, I also take the journal, like I said, on the trip. So I make daily to-do list where I want to go. I write down addresses. I have important phone numbers. In case of emergency, where, you know, the State Department phone number of the embassy or the consulate, you know, definitely my hotel phone number. I write down all kinds of things. I mean, if I meet somebody very interesting that I'd like to connect with when I go home, I write their name and phone number and Facebook or whatever. And so I have that while I'm on the trip. Every night I will reflect on what I've done. I write down, you know, some of my observations, my thoughts, maybe something not so good that I don't think you should do that I did. But I log all this in. So when I get home, I have my own travel journal, my own diary. And it's something that I can look back on and learn from. I can share. And, you know, maybe one day somebody would be interested in it.
I love it. Yeah, this is so cool. I love it because it's like you're creating your memories right there as you're traveling. I think that it's not only a practical tool to help you have a great trip, but you're also capturing all your memories and the experiences as you go. I think that's awesome.
Yes. So I highly recommend that, because if you start researching, you write a few things down, or you don't even write it down in one place, oh my gosh, then you'll have to go back. And I'm telling you, a lot of times the prices that you see will change. Mm. That's another thing. Oh my gosh, this is it's very difficult sometimes to really get that best deal at the best time. So if you log in what you've looked at, the dates you've seen it, you get a much better specific picture of, you know, what things cost, etc.
I'm also thinking that this is also a good sort of protection for yourself, because what if you find yourself without access to the internet when you're out and about? You have an offline way of collecting all that information. You're never stranded without your basic information. Like if, let's say, you can't get a good connection with the internet, or you just don't have access.
Catherine, that's exactly right. Let me tell you, before every trip, I will make copies or several copies of my flights, my hotel reservations, my passport information, credit card information, etc. And I'll hide it in my suitcase, typically in the lining of my suitcase, or somewhere that, you know, if a TSA member or just anybody who would go in it, you know, for some reason my bag would get lost, there's not all my information there. But, you know, if you lose your passport, if you lose anything, then it can be such a stressful event. But if you have the stuff in your journal, then if all that goes wrong, you are still in business.
Yeah, you're not totally derailed.
Yes. So that's another little travel tip. Moving right along, the main websites that I use that I've had good success with to plan any trip are basically, first, WikiTravel. And then I love the U.S. State Department travel section from the United States. Kayak, super. TripAdvisor, big daddy of all. And two new ones that I've just started using called HipMunk, HipMunk, and Momondo, which I like all of them. So what I basically do is from these sites, I create what I call a rough pre-trip cost budget, and basically start developing a daily itinerary or a real good list of what to do. A lot of times you can't exactly follow the itinerary, but from all these sites you basically get really all the information you need before you get there. So basically, if you use these sites, you won't need a travel agent, which is, you know, a lot of people like travel agents, and I don't think that you shouldn't use them, but you don't have to. So I like this. So I can plan every trip all by myself, look at the best cost, decide what I want to do, etc., and I don't have to have a third party involved with it. So, and I know myself how much things will cost, which is important. Okay, so I basically start with WikiTravel. A lot of people don't even know about WikiTravel. I mean, they know about TripAdvisor, but a site like WikiTravel is basically just like Wikipedia. It's a very good overview of any destination in terms of what there's to do involving travel. So it gives you like a brief overview of the place, cultural highlights. It talks about how you would get there, plane, train, car, whether there are airports right near the city or if there are several airports, some being outside, how you get around, taxi, walk, bike, mass transit, what to do, see, learn, buy, and drink, where to sleep. It's not really that good with accommodations, but it gives you kind of an overview of some of the budget to moderate to high-end hotels. I don't pay very much attention to the accommodations section, but they do talk about that. And the safety concerns. This is a good introductional, are there any safety concerns? So basically why I use Wikipedia and why Wikipedia, excuse me, WikiTravel is it gives you a good succinct intro into the travel and information about a particular destination. And this will basically decide whether I want to even continue looking at this particular place. What it doesn't talk about is how much things will cost. It doesn't give you very many visuals. For the solo traveler, I think it's just basic, good initial information for you to determine whether you would even be interested in going here. So it's the starting point.
Is it similar to Wikipedia in that the people who are contributing the information are just users? I mean, is it just sort of a crowdsourced information?
Yes, I think that's the case, but I think there has to be some more filtering to it because it's not quite as...
Loosey-goosey?
Yes, okay. It's not. It's pretty factual, but there's not a whole lot in each place. Well, Paris is much more than... say Baton Rouge, where I'm from.
Yeah.
But it's just good basic information, and I would say you can trust it pretty much. But that's the start. Okay, so the next site that I go to, which is very important, and really you could start with this one, is the U.S. State Department travel section. The American government has a great State Department website, and their travel section is particularly good. So if I say I'm interested in going to Bangkok, I will go to the U.S. Travel or U.S. State Department travel website and read everything they have on Bangkok. And what's wonderful about this site that it gives really good, factual, country-specific information. So you get a great description of the destination. You get entry, exit, and visa requirements, any type of paperwork that you need to do, and whether you can do it online or you need to use a service or whatever. There's usually a section on local laws in special circumstances. Certain countries limit a certain amount of money you can bring in, limit different types of things you can take into the country. And it's good to know that. Then they also have sections that are focused on the LGBTI traveler, the traveler with disabilities, and also women travelers. So it has really good information that is geared to those types of travelers. Being a solo woman traveler, I read all that information and I take note because You need to pay attention to what the State Department says, because they're right on the money. Also, health gives good information about health issues, what you need to know, and I'm going to go into a little bit of that. Travel and transportation info. One thing, you never think about, say if you're driving a car, or if you have an accident, what would you do? Well, on this particular website, they do give you information. Like, I was researching San Miguel de Allende, and I was talking about Mexico and driving in Mexico, and really you shouldn't drive at night. If you drive, you should drive at day and on the major highways, etc. But if you have an accident, there is a service called the Green Angels, and they have information, numbers, everything that you can write down, and if you have an accident, you can call the Green Angels and somebody will help you. So, you know, that's something that you could find out, but it would take you a while to really figure it out, and to have it noted in your journal in case you would need it is excellent. Okay, a little bit more about the safety aspect of it, because that to me is probably the biggest plus about this site. It gives you up-to-date alerts and warnings for all the countries in the world in terms of safety and travel. Alerts and warnings can be of different significance, but you should read them all. Basically, what I do is before I decide to go anywhere, I look to see if there are any travel alerts and warnings, and if there are, I choose somewhere else to go to, because you really should not, as a solo traveler, go somewhere where there is a potential, or the State Department, the U.S. government, feels like there are lots of different things that are making them put out this warning. So very, very important. So I use that basically in deciding whether I want to go somewhere. The safety info, they give you personal safety suggestions and strategies, which I think is real good, which leads me to the next thing they provide. There's a service called the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, STEP. And this is part of the State Department travel section. And what you do is, any American traveler who is traveling outside of the United States can enroll in this program. And what you do is you enroll your basic personal information. You enroll your trip itinerary, your dates, where you'll be staying, contact numbers. So they will know, the State Department, the U.S. government will know that you are somewhere as a solo traveler on these dates. And if there's anything like a new travel warning or alert, you will be immediately texted or emailed, and you will know about it. If there are natural disasters, they will give you information, update information. If you need to get out of the country, they will tell you what to do. So it's really, really good. Then if you have an emergency, or if something happens, you have an accident, they will help you in terms of what happens with the doctors and the hospitals. They'll contact your family. It's really good. And then also, if your family wants to contact you, say there's an emergency in the family or something happens, they can log into this. And the State Department, this STEP program and how it's constructed, will get you a note saying you need to call home or whatever. So it's really, really good. You're not totally alone then when you're traveling. You have your connection to the State Department, and I've never had to use it in a bad situation, but I enroll in it every time. And this is one of my big travel tips I tell everybody, is when they're traveling outside the United States now, enroll in the STEP program. One other little thing, they also have an app. So that's another really good thing. Enroll online in computer or whatever, but there's a app up to date too that's on your phone.
It sounds like it's a little bit of the worst case scenario insurance. It's like, hopefully you'll never ever have to use it, but it's a good idea to do it.
Oh yeah, and it is free. You don't have to pay for anything. The other thing that I think is the information that's great on this website deals with health and medical information. And that's sometimes people don't really think that through enough. Like, well, I'll use Mexico as an example. First of all, Mexico is very difficult. If you have some kind of health event, you're in the hospital, you have an accident, or, you know, you're injured in some kind of way, you have to have upfront money to pay for your medical needs. Mm. And there are only certain providers that they will accept. They do not accept health insurance companies from the U.S. or even Medicare. So you should know that. And they give you what health providers that they will recognize. So you can buy the appropriate travel insurance policy that covers health issues for a particular place, say Mexico, as well as supplemental insurance. You know, sometimes you'll buy a policy, but it doesn't have medical evacuation in it. And let me tell you something, if something really bad happens to you, and they can stabilize you and get you to back home, that is something that I pay for every time. I use Travel Guard typically as my insurer for the whole trip, which has good medical supplement insurance in it. But they have they have all different levels, but they do have on the top levels the medical evacuation. And because I'm older, I definitely want that. So that's really good. They also talk about what's controlled substances. Sudafed in Mexico is a controlled substance.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. You know, so you have to know what you can bring in and what you can't bring in that could accidentally get you in trouble. You know, you should always bring your prescriptions, and especially a handwritten doctor's prescription. It gives you a list of doctors and hospitals that they recommend. And if you have problems with overcharging bills, they will step in and help you negotiate that. And lastly, they'll talk about prevalent diseases, whether it's Zika or whatever. And so I think it's wonderful, okay? So to wrap this website up, or why I like it, why it's good for the solo traveler, basically, the U.S. State Department travel section website is fantastic for safety information, alerts, and assistance. I mean, there's no better one for the American traveler.
If I recall correctly, the website says, and remember, the Bill of Rights does not follow you overseas.
Oh, yeah. No, really.
It says that on the website.
But it is true. And then it does give you the most up-to-date, important factual information about a destination. So you can totally trust this information. What it doesn't provide is cost and basic tourist, you know, information.
The fun stuff.
Yeah, sites, hotels, restaurants, that kind of thing. But for the solo traveler, the section specifically dealing with women travelers, great information, great suggestions. So once my potential trip, or where I'm thinking about going, passes these two websites, these two filters, if I still want to go there after everything I've read, then I go to Kayak, which, oh, I love Kayak. Even just the name of the site, Kayak, makes you think of, oh, that's going to be fun. Let's go. But Kayak is a humongous or gigantic fare aggregator, as well as they call themselves a meta research travel engine. But it gives you information on hotels, all price ranges, flights, car rentals, packages. They have a new section now, trains, activities, rentals, ideas on what to explore, even flight tracker capabilities, different route suggestions. This site has come a long way. It is fantastic. And what I like so much about this site is it pulls from all of the other booking sites like Booking.com, Hotel.com, Expedia, TripAdvisor, Marriott, Hotel Planner, and more. What you can do is they give you their information, and then they will show you all of these other sites, what their quotes are.
Hmm.
And you can go to those sites. And sometimes Kayak is not the cheapest, or you might want to use another site because you're not quite sure and you want to have free cancellation. Or you don't want to pay for the hotel prior to getting there. And there, so certain sites will quote different price points on hotels, with these different filters in there. So, and their price might be a little bit better than another site that has that. So this Kayak is great. They're the kind of site that I like. They are not afraid of competition. They show what the competitor is doing, and they try to get down as low as they can go. And it's wonderful. I mean, Kayak is basically where I start. But so, yeah, in terms of hotels, let's talk about hotel search. What you'll see when you're searching for a hotel, are there a lot of filters? And I know a lot of people have booked online that are probably listening, but for those who haven't, I'm going to go through some of these basic things just to kind of paint the picture, okay? But they have filters, so you can determine if you want a one-star, two-star, up to five-star hotel. I always stay in five-star hotels. I might go down to four, but it has to be really something good. Because my Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, we focus on affordable luxury ideas for solo travelers. So I'm looking for the best deal for a five-star hotel. Now, I need to give you a little heads up. Is in certain areas of the world, their five-star might not be what, say, a Western European or an American five-star would be like. There are some variances in, say, Asia that you have to be discerning. So that's another reason why it's good to go through all these sites that I'm going to tell you about, look at a lot of pictures, read a lot of reviews, and then see what you really believe is true and what you're comfortable with. So they have the star rating. Then they have a review score, which are basically reviews that people have put in, which is very good. That gives you another filter. And you can say, I only want five-star hotels with reviews that are 9 to 10, or I'll go down to 5. It doesn't matter. Also, price range. They will give you price range. Like you might say, I'm not going to spend more than $350 a night, or I don't want to see anything below $100 to $350 a night, or whatever your comfort zone and price is. Next, they talk about freebies, which is very important because all those little things can add up in a trip cost. Whether there's a free airport shuttle, which I always look for, because being a solo traveler, when I go anywhere new that I've never been to, if there's not an airport shuttle, I typically will arrange with the hotel's concierge for pickup service, because I had an experience, I must say, in Athens, Greece, where, and I'll never do this again, I wrote a whole blog post about it, but I got in basically about 3:30 in the morning, close to 4, and I thought, when I booked this flight, I thought, well, it'll be all right, the sun will be almost coming up, so it won't be a big deal to find a taxi. Well, let me tell you something. You can go to my website and read this blog. It's called The Unforgettable Taxi Ride.
Oh, dear.
I made it, but oh, that was some experience that I'll never put myself in that position again.
Well, I'm just thinking you don't want to set up a hurdle for yourself the first thing you do when you land. I mean, you're already tired, disoriented.
Yes.
Like, let's make it easy from stepping off the plane, right?
Yeah, and the ride really didn't end up being dangerous, but oh my God, it gave me some serious heart palpitations.
Yeah, let's not start on a stressful note.
So the airport shuttle is important because otherwise I have to pay for somebody to meet me at the airport and take me to the hotel, which it's not too bad, but it's just an added cost. Also, you have to have Wi-Fi and internet access, and most all 5-star hotels do, but it's whether it's free Wi-Fi or not. I mean, I was just recently in New York City, and I was at a W hotel. Really posh, nice, chic hotel. Loved it. I didn't realize there was a daily Wi-Fi fee, which, you know, wasn't that much. But still, I had to connect to it every day and pay. And, you know, I looked for free Wi-Fi and strong Wi-Fi. And they're even talking now more and more when they explain the Wi-Fi on these sites, whether it's strong or not. And it makes a difference because weak Wi-Fi,
forget it.
Yeah, it's bad. Okay. Then also free breakfast, free cancellation, which I'll go into a little bit more. Also location of the hotel, which is important, whether it's city center, near the airport, or in a particular neighborhood. You need to pay attention to that because you can click on something and see a really fine hotel, but if it's in the suburbs, you're going to be spending an hour and a half getting somewhere. You'll have to use mass transit or take taxis or whatever, and that'll cost you money, and it's just not as smart. So pay attention to location. Then they always give you a brief description of the hotel once you click on it. And what I like about it, you'll get a lot of photos. So the photos are, you know, I'll click on something, you know, the price looks right, the location looks right. Then I look at the photos. And if I don't like any of the photos or the couple of things, I move on. Because typically there are a lot of options that you can look at. So the photos are very good. They even have videos now, which I am big on videos.
We know that.
I've done a podcast on the value of YouTube videos in terms of hotel selection, what to do, etc. So they have that. Then they have what I like very much. They have what's called scores based on the reviews vibe. Does it really have a good vibe? And location. Is the location, how really good is the location? Cleanliness, oh God, that is a deal breaker for me. I mean, the older I get, the more important that
is.
Yeah. You know, so, and then free breakfast, et cetera. So they have this, and I like it very much, as well as when you look at location, they even have a map feature where you can see where the hotel is. And I always click on that because it'll show you all of the good sites that are around there, sometimes the restaurants, and most importantly, if I'm going to use mass transit, where the tube station is or where the subway station or overhead, whatever, how far it is to walk. So if it's 5-10 minutes at the most, that's perfect. So that's really good. And then also the total price they give you is typically with the taxes and fees. But you have to pay attention to that because if it's not, you know, something that is a real good price, you get to the hotel and at the end when they when you get your bill, they've tacked on another $50 a day. So pay attention to that. But they do let you know. Okay, so what I did to kind of give you an idea of how this works in the price comparisons is I took a London destination. I'm really excited about Louisiana travelers being able to get connected with Europe and London, because as of March, in the middle of March, I think, British Air is going to have a direct route from New Orleans to London, which is fabulous because London is a super hub to get anywhere. And they're going to have a brand new Dreamliner plane. So I chose London because I'm going to go to London because of this sometime late spring, summer, maybe early fall. I don't like to go anywhere where there are a lot of tourists during the summer. So I use London. That's going to be my test case to kind of show you how prices can differ on the different sites.
Listeners, I'm going to start advocating right now for a live podcast recording from London, see if I can get to tag along with Astrid.
Oh, yeah. that would be...
Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll put that on our to-do list. Okay, so I clicked London, and I chose May 2nd through the 10th as my dates, basically an eight-day trip. I got five hotels that interested me, okay? Two of them were basically what I call modern or on the hip side. Two of them were very traditional English, and one of them was in the middle, kind of 60s, 70s modern, the Waldorf Hilton. So what I did is they came up, and I got these five hotels. I saw prices from Kayak, Hotel.com, Expedia, Booking.com, Priceline, and Hotwire. The five hotels, one was the Mondrian, the other one was the Hari. Both of those were the modern vibe, hip, cool hotels. Then the two historical or traditional English hotels, one was the Royal Horse Guards, and the other one was the Radisson Blu Edwardian. And I do like Radisson Blu as a brand. They typically have very good value for a five-star. And then the Waldorf Hilton. So what the price range, what I got, was basically from $177 to a top price range of $248 a night, with the Harry as the cheapest hotel, and basically the Waldorf is the most expensive. But the one that I liked the most in terms of my initial first reading was the Royal Horse Guard Hotel. This one was $211 a night. Gorgeous hotel. Had been a former palace. Several of the English kings had lived there. It had been used, well, they called it the old spy hotel. It was, they have had, this hotel has a lot of history in it. Great location. It's very close to the theater district. So if you're interested in theater and going to the marvelous musicals and plays in London, this is a great place to stay. Plus, the reviews said it was very well maintained and lovely staff. So I starred this hotel. I really liked this one. But I didn't knock the other ones out. So it gave me kind of a price range, total price range for these days, between $1,200 and, say, $50 up to, say, $1,750. So I was kind of starting to begin to know how much the hotel cost would run me for a five-star hotel that I'd stay in,
right,
that I thought was affordable but still luxurious. Then I go to the flights. Now, when you click on and look for flights, of course, you put, you know, where you're leaving from and your destination, your dates. But on Kayak, they have the filters whether you want it to be nonstop or you don't care. You'll do multiple stops. And, of course, nonstops are going to be more expensive. Then, or could be more expensive. I mean, with the flight pricing now, this is like, you can never know. And that's why they have what's called price alerts now. And Kayak has that feature. if the price goes down, they'll give you a price alert, you know, or don't book it, and they'll keep you abreast of how the prices are changing. And they change from minute to minute. It is really difficult to hit it at right. And there are a lot of tips to when to do it and how to do it, et cetera. And that's another podcast.
Yeah, we'll cover that another time.
But so it has that. Then it has, you can either decide whether you want economy, premium economy, or business. And I do focus on business tickets, business class tickets, especially when I'm outside the United States. Not so much in America, but if I'm traveling more than 4 or 5 hours, and depending on where it is, I look for very well-priced business class tickets. Duration of the flight, which is very important. You can get a real cheap flight, but if it takes you a day and a half or 2 days to get there,
yeah, it's not worth it.
And you have a long layover of 15 hours. Yeah, and let me tell you, I've accidentally done that before they came up with all these extra filters to tell you that it's a long layover and this kind of thing. Then, of course, it gives you the schedule of the flight, the particulars, the flight number, the different carriers, and also even the type of aircraft, which I'm not as much of a freaky flyer anymore because I've flown so much. And really, the new planes are great. I mean, I'm so amazed all the time, these humongous jets, especially the Dreamliner, you can hardly tell you've taken off. And then the landing is like, it's like a feather landing most of the time. It's just fabulous. So when I'm looking at what flight that I want to book, I look at the aircraft. And I'm even so dogged about this, I'll see if there's a YouTube video that'll show me what the interior of the cabin looks like. Everything. So I will compare British Air to, say, Air France or whatever. And, you know, depending on where it is who I choose, what airline I choose, and if the aircraft is newer. And that, to me, that's important. And like with the hotels, they compare with other sites. You'll get justfly.com. Their fare will come up, Priceline, Just Air Tickets, Fare Depot, etc. So on my London
example,
they had a business class, $3,699, which I thought was a little high, because I typically try to get to Europe for somewhere around $2,500. But this is actually from New Orleans to London. This is not from JFK to London. And I usually take JetBlue from New Orleans to JFK, and then, you know, and that a lot of times I get really good tickets, or I go through Miami, sometimes DC and Atlanta. But the business class was $36.99, or basically $3,700. Premium economy was $1,339. That's a pretty good deal now. Especially the newer planes, their premium economy is pretty stepped up. And then economy was $813, which I didn't think that was actually too bad for economy from New Orleans. So, you know, it gives you those price points. So from there, you know, I'm such a budget person because I'm always trying to figure out, can I do this trip for $500 a day, or is it going to be $800 a day? And I have to confess, I usually do it because I want to know how much money I can blow shopping.
The truth comes out.
Which is so bad. But, you know, a lot of people don't think like that. But I do try to want to figure out how much my base cost is going to be and how much that is a day. Because, you know, there are places you can go to that are fabulous that are much cheaper per day.
Just kind of where you want to spend your money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll put in the hotel costs. Now, I know the airline costs. So I'll beginning to know what this range of prices that, you know, I'm looking at. And so basically by combining the flight quote and the hotel quote, it was from about $5,200 to $5,450, which was around $585 a day to $646. But you have another feature with Kayak, which you can ask them to create your own package, which you tell them where you want to fly to, your dates for the hotel, and you can put all those filters in. You want to go business class flight, you want to stay five-star hotel, blah, blah, blah. And let me tell you something, you save money doing that. And basically, I'm going to focus in on the Royal Horse Guard because I'm really liking what I'm seeing on that hotel. But the savings by using a package for that hotel is $500.
Hmm.
So look at what the price cost is. You break it down to just get an idea. But then also go to the next stage. Do it as a package. And if your hotel that you like, Royal Horse Guards, comes in there, then, you know, shebang, you've even saved more money.
Yeah, I mean, that's like two nights right there you just saved, right?
More shopping.
Yeah.
Or I could do something extravagant. Because when I travel, I like to watch my money. But then I always like to do something that's over the top. That's just the way I'm hooked up, I guess. So, but I'll summarize Kayak for you. Basically, what I like about it, it's a super search engine. And it gives you great comparisons on hotel prices, flights, car information. The package feature is very good. I use it because it's very easy to use. I've had a lot of success with it. I think basically this site is designed, it does what it was designed to do. It searches for the best prices for flights and hotels, and that's really the key to what it does. For the solo traveler, great information, and the booking capabilities, you can do all this and you don't need a travel agent.
That does it for part one. Check the show notes for links to all the website Astrid talked about. Next week, we'll be back with the rest of Astrid's list. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.